Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Very good, Noel. Thank you very much.
To tell our listeners that the new website, which was launched recently, is mindhowyougo.ie. Tell me about the website and how it came about.
Well, I suppose a good bit of context is ourselves and the service we provide in Crosscare Migrant Project. We provide a pre-departure information and support service to Irish people emigrating, but also Irish people returning back, especially those who have been away for many decades, and our base is in Dublin city centre, but we would obviously deal with a lot of people who are emigrating from all over the country via our email and telephone service as well. So we would deal a lot, especially in the last 5 years, with people who have been really forced to leave the country, I suppose, particularly college graduates looking for work. And I suppose over that period of time, it became obvious to us that while we provide a lot of the factual stuff in terms of visa options and, you know, where to go in a particular city for a support organisation, it was clear that people were suffering really in terms of the emotional side of it. And I suppose we felt we needed to pull something together in terms of a resource and backup to help people on the emotional journey of emigration, so to speak. So what we did last year, we created an online survey and we asked 500 Irish people who had emigrated in the last 5 years about their experience. And in particular, we asked them questions that we felt would be useful for other emigrants to know in terms of how they coped with it. And essentially what we have now on the Mind How You Go website, it's the collective wisdom of about 500 Irish immigrants who've left in the last year in terms of what it was like for them and what they would recommend their peers, I suppose, to do, people who might already be abroad, but also those thinking of going away now as well. And, you know, we hope it will be accessible as well. I suppose this last wave of emigration has been unique in many respects, and that it's the first wave of Irish emigration in the internet age. So a lot of people are getting their information not just via the internet, but from each other via the internet as well. And we were aware that there was lots of conversations going on the web between Irish emigrants on all corners of the globe. And I suppose we wanted to tap into that. And it's very much emigrant-led, this resource. I mean, I suppose the day has gone in terms of us being experts in terms of what to do and where you go. It's really information from the ground, from all over the world, I suppose, is what's being, you know, going on between conversations between people. So we're, I suppose, trying to put a shape on all them conversations, all that type of advice that's going on between people themselves. Yeah. And making it accessible on the Mind How You Go website.
Yeah, I was just wondering about, I mean, there's a myriad of reasons why people go, but also why people feel differently when they go. Some people are quite confident and some people are sort of tenuously nervous when they go, so everyone is different to that extent. I often wonder, too, if you don't mind me asking in response, I know the survey that was done with them, could the internet have the opposite effect? Do you know, sometimes, I don't mean like to the extent of absence making the heart grow fonder, but if you're Skyping every day, say home, and does it keep it in your mind all the time where you're not, there's no escape from home? Could it have that effect?
Yeah, there were answers like that, all right. And I mean, you're right. The experience is different for absolutely everyone. It's a very personal experience for everyone. It's one of the hardest things you can do, really, in your life, is to move country and try to set up a life in a whole new context. So it is very different for everyone, and, you know, no two experiences are the same. But yeah, I suppose the internet has been a bit of a double-edged sword, and that came across in the answers as well. Obviously, it allows connection to a degree that, you know, we've never seen before. People can, you know, do job interviews, they can view accommodation, you know, they can talk to their friends directly in real time who are on different corners of the world, you know. But there is the other side to it as well, and I suppose we were very conscious of the mental health of people as well when we were putting this resource together, and we asked them specific questions around that, and specifically around homesickness as well. And we asked them the triggers of homesickness, and we asked them the triggers, but we also asked them, you know, how do they cope with it? And funnily enough, for some people, and it was a minority, they said homesickness tend to be worse after they had been in contact with home. Mm-hmm. But in particular, and, you know, Facebook has got many very good things going for it, people felt that looking at pictures of their family on Facebook, and particularly, you know, younger siblings or nieces or nephews, mm-hmm. you know, kind of growing up on Facebook, basically, and missing out on all these family events kind of made it harder for them, you know, seeing all these things happen.
Yeah.
But by and large, I think, you know, it was pretty clear, and from our experience of previous waves of emigration as well, that the internet has really, I suppose, it's taken the edge off it a little bit in terms of the pain of actually going away. But really, I think one of the things that really struck us when we're asking about, you know, we asked people what was the most challenging experience, it was really striking how much people are actually suffering in terms of being away. And that doesn't tend to be spoken about very much now, I think there's a perception out there that, you know, other young people, and they're sort of going away for a few years to Australia or Canada, and they're having a great time.
It's an adventure,
to an extent. Yeah, and there's truth in that for sure. But, you know, people are still separated from their home, their families, a lot of their friends as well. And that's, you know, that's one of the hardest things mm-hmm. anyone can do, you know, and that's forgotten about. And I think the fact that the survey was online and it was anonymous, it allowed people to open up and be very frank about, you know, what it was like being away from family and friends. And people, I suppose, in particular mentioned missing family events, you know, things like weddings and in particular funerals as well. And, you know, not being around for big occasions at home, it was particularly difficult for people. And, you know, there was a lot of pain there. But, yeah. I mean, we're not going to...
I was just going to say, I suppose it depends on the distance you have travelled, like Australia, America.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're just across, maybe in some part of Europe, which is maybe only an hour away, there's a big difference there where you can get home for some of these occasions.
Yeah, and there was, I mean, I suppose it was no mistake that I think about half of the respondents were actually in Australia as well. You know, it's clear that people find it more difficult to be that distance from home.
Mm-hmm.
But there is the other side to it as well. You know, London is very near. It's quicker to get from Dublin to London than to many parts of Ireland. But, you know, London has other things as well that make it very difficult for people in terms of the sheer size of the place. And it's very easy to get lost and be isolated in London as well. And, you know, some responses, you know, reflected that. They thought that, you know, because you're an hour away, you know, it won't be so hard. But, you know, if you're moving away from all your support structures and you're moving into a new job, new accommodation, all new people, you know, it's still going to be a bit of a challenge. And I think what we have in the Mind How You Go website is how to cope with that in people's own words. There's mm-hmm. about 600 direct quotes from people who have been through the experience themselves. And, you know, we stood back ourselves very much. There's very little of our own thoughts or writing in this. We really just structured people's own comments and their own advice, really, into various sections to make people feel that, you know, it, almost like it was a friend they were talking to, you know, if they were, you know, at their going away party or whatever, and they met a couple of people who've been there and they're giving them a bit of advice.
I think it depends as well on the individual, because as you were saying there about the big city, but the same could apply to somebody over the years from a very rural area up to Dublin or to Galway or... especially to Dublin, you get lost in the city, and in themselves, the confidence and not wanting to admit how they're feeling as well, no matter where they go, like they feel that they'd be letting people down if they start saying, "Look, I'm homesick," and all that sort of carry on.
Yeah, people are slow to mention it, and,
mm-hmm.
and others will say, "Sure, look, you know, what do you expect? You know, there's an element of inevitability in terms of the homesickness." But I suppose we would caution people as well that, you know, homesickness is, you know, very often the precursor to something worse as well, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of mental health. And we would urge, I suppose, families and emigrants abroad to look out for each other and, you know, to stay in contact a little bit as well. I think one of the most useful pieces of advice that a lot of the participants gave was, you know, what to do after you arrive. And there was three very clear messages about what emigrants were recommending that you should do when you arrive in your destination. And firstly was to broaden your social circles and your networks. Secondly was to develop a good support structure and a routine mm-hmm. wherever you are. And then thirdly was to stay connected to home. You know, so I think if people manage to do all of them three things, and that's a big ask in your first, you know, couple of mm-hmm. months there, if people manage to do all of them three things, that, you know, they're their experience, I think, would, you know, would very likely be a good one, I think.
Mm-hmm. How important is it? I imagine it is quite important to put that preparation before they go, doing a bit of research on actually where they're going and what sort of work might be available, especially with the social media now. That's, it'd be easy to find these things out, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, we did ask people, you know, what advice would you give others in terms of what to do before you go? And I suppose we were glad ourselves, in terms of an organisation that provides pre-departure advice, that people were very much saying research, 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 and network as much as you can and make as much connections as you can before you go as well. So that was good. So, you know, people seem to understand that that's very important to do before you go, and you can't really do enough of it. But I suppose one of the things that struck us as well that we hadn't really thought of before in terms of the advice that was being given before you leave Ireland, people were saying that you really should spend some good quality time with you know, a small number of people that are close to you, because I think what happens often is that it can be very rushed, you know, there can be parties and big going aways and stuff, and people kind of forget to just spend a bit of decent time with, mm-hmm. with the people who are closest to them as well. And I suppose this particularly popped up for people who had older relatives who actually died while they were away, and they were kind of regretting not giving them a little bit more time before they left. So that was interesting in terms of, you know, preparing for the emotional challenge of emigration as well, you know.
Yeah, I suppose anyone as well in conversations, if some of the younger people hear some of the older people saying, oh, that's a chance I'd have loved years ago, and that comes into the equation where they'd feel like they don't let anyone down. Have you found anything extremely negative that had a stream running through it from most of the people that you talk to?
Well, look, I suppose one of the questions that we asked is, we asked people, you know, how did your expectations change in the first month after arriving?
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of people's expectations changed for the worst, I suppose, because I think a lot of people underestimated primarily the difficulty in finding work, or secondly, I think adapting to a new environment, but also meeting people was difficult as well. And this particularly was for people who didn't necessarily emigrate with friends as well. So these were the things that people were surprised at as well. Other people, in terms of the challenges, a lot of, you know, greater financial strain than expected as well. But really, in terms of the difficulties, the top one really was missing family and friends and home, mm-hmm. and people tended not to be quite prepared for that. But the other side of it was, you know, there was a lot of positivity as well in terms of the experience, and a large number of people mentioning, you know, the very positive relationships that they had cracked up, and you know, a number of people as well finding partners and spouses. Quite a number of people remarking on the fact that they had much more career options in their country of destination,
mm-hmm.
and others remarking on, you know, the better lifestyle, and quite a few as well, particularly the younger people, remarking on, you know, how it helped them to become more independent and how they kind of grew personally from the experience as well. So, you know, clearly a lot of people find it very hard, but at the same time there is pluses obviously in there as well.
Yeah, reading through it looked like some of them were saying they were glad to break out of the cycle, sort of the drinking culture here, and when you go somewhere else it's so different. That seemed to be a positive thing for them as well.
Yeah, there was mention of that there, and in terms of the advice as well, people were urging caution, particularly after you arrive, not to get into the drinking culture too much, because that can happen, unfortunately, and it can lead people down the wrong path, you know,
mm-hmm.
much as is the case here. But I think it can be more concentrated in country abroad if you're, I suppose, for the want of a better word, in an Irish ghetto with a bunch of people, and you tend to stick too much in that group, and, you know, it can be very drink focused on occasion. So there was a few words of caution about that. Now, I think probably the best advice that was given in that respect was, you know, when you arrive, you know, use all your Irish contacts for sure. They're the people who will know you best and will understand you best. But, you know, don't get stuck in it and move out, and you know, use the local context as well in terms of the country you're in, and mm-hmm. broaden out your circle beyond the Irish space. So, I mean, we would follow that up. We would back that up in terms of, you know, use whatever Irish context you have when you get there, but don't stick to them. broaden it out and broaden out your experience, and it will pay off, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure most of them go to English-speaking countries that are sort of a second language anyway. So was there a language problem where some places where they would go and completely naively go without knowing any of the language? Did you come across any of that?
It came up only in the minority, really, mm-hmm. because most of the respondents, and we didn't choose them, they choose yourselves, most of the respondents were really from the likes of Australia, Canada and the UK. A small number from other countries, all right, and a number of people did remark, all right, that they underestimated how important having a language was. But I think really that was only probably a handful of cases out of the 500.
Yeah, yeah. They usually go where they... And, the advice to get home, as I said before, a lot of people go much, much further afield than they would like sometimes in expectations of work. The website, Mind How You Go, so that's up there, and all the things we've been talking about, plus much, much more. I mean, we couldn't go through it all. But that's all up there for advice for people.
Yeah, you know, we would recommend anyone who's even emigrated and is away... but particularly for people who are thinking of going, it's very user friendly. I suppose we put a lot of time into making it accessible, and it's very accessible on a smartphone as well. We're aware that a lot of our immigrants abroad now stay in contact by using their smartphone, and in fact, there's a lot of recommendations about what kind of IT to use as well. Very practical stuff in terms mm-hmm. of staying connected with home as well in there as well. So yeah, and it's all in people's own words as well. So we hope that it's accessible and usable and very practical and, you know, ultimately useful, and, mm-hmm. and would make a more supported experience for people who are away or who are thinking of going away.
Well, I was away myself many, many years ago in the 60s. I was just thinking as I was talking to you about if you had to come to me. I always remember for the first year, I mean, I was only away in going around touring England at the time. And I was just thinking, I remember after a couple of weeks, I couldn't wait to get home. I just want to get home. But then when I was home after about a week, I couldn't understand why I was homesick, because I was having a good time over there and the things hadn't changed at home. So I'm sure people go through those mixed feelings as well.
Yeah, people can be caught between two places. There is recommendations in there as well, and these only work if you're in relative proximity to Ireland to kind of plan some trips home, but really that's very difficult for people on the other side of the world. But yeah, no, I can identify with that as well myself. I've been away for a while.
No, I think I was thinking to the extent, Joe, about sometimes, when I'm thinking about it, yeah, conjuring you up visions that are not true as well. I mean, your mind can play tricks on you as well, and then when you come home and the reality hits and nothing's changed. I'm sure,
yeah.
I'm sure people go through that as well.
Yeah, people mention that actually as well, particularly in terms of destination country, I suppose, and the search for jobs. You know, they had been here and they were looking for work and it was really, really hard. And they maybe went to a country like Canada or Australia where the unemployment rate wasn't as high, and they probably had very high expectations about how easy it would be to get a job. But still, they have to go through the slog of employment agencies and CVs mm-hmm. and phone calls and interviews and whatnot. And I think many people as well who had never actually broken into the job market here were quite surprised about how difficult it was to get employment abroad as well. You know,
mm-hmm. Nothing changes no matter where you go. It's a wonderful, wonderful website anyway, Joe, and congratulations on CrossCare for it. And again, it's mindhowyougo.ie. Okay, and it was launched there only the other day by the Minister, Jimmy Deanahan. It's a terrific website, I must say. Terrific website. Congratulations
Great.
On that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us here on Near FM. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Noel.